Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 12th of January. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello and good afternoon, listeners.
It's really nice to have you back.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
She's finally recovered from her hangover.
No, it wasn't that really. I had a lot to do, Paul Andrews.
Did you?
Being a mother, and all the kids came back, and I mean, you know, when I got back from Alabama and Savannah and all that.
Oh, have you been to America?
Yes.
I didn't know that. You never mentioned it.
No, I'll tell you all.
How did you manage to not mention that 5,000 times?
Manhattan and things.
But
then I got back thinking I was going to sort of recover, do my show. And I got back and all three of my kids were back home.
Mm.
One daughter with a broken leg. Son back from his summer in Ibiza working, doing his IFA exam, his last one, studying.
In Ibiza, as you would.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you stay here and do an IFA exam when you can disco it?
Exactly. And you know where he's off to? He's doing this last exam.
Right.
And then he's off, this is Josh.
Yeah.
He's off to Peru.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you, really? Because they're short of mortgages in Peru.
Looking for marmalade or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Whatever that
bears. He's going to finance a marmalade mine.
He's looking at frontier funds, you see.
Oh, right, okay.
And things like that.
Nice one.
So, yeah, so it has been, I have been cooking and busy and plus I had to...
And hungover?
No, between the hangovers, I cope quite well. I take vitamin C and zinc and Barocca and all sorts. But between that, then I got these sort of last minute PR gigs where people were panicking, venues were panicking about New Year's Eve because I hadn't got any guests coming to their venues. And so they're calling me on Christmas Eve going, Jules, do you think you can do... Like, hello, you've got 3 days. So it was all a bit mad, but we got there in the
You've end. Recovered now.
I have
and
recovered.
And you've deigned to swan in here and help us out.
Yeah, and of course I was doing my fancy dress, as you saw.
I saw that.
I went as a beach bum.
You missed my tweet on that, though, didn't you?
No, I didn't see it.
Listen, Jules tweeted me a picture of her new husband, Gavin, getting ready for their fancy dress party, and he was... dressed as a tiger. So I retweeted it and said, what are you going as, a bowl of Frosties? And you just ignored me.
Oh, I didn't see that, honey. I'm so sorry. I'll go and have a look.
Yeah, I would.
But he was great.
Oh, dear.
Charlie's too young to even know this.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, we've got Charlie Woodham in the studio and Ramsay Cohen. I do like a Scottish Scotsman, don't you?
Absolutely.
But Ramsay will get it. They're great. Frosties.
They're great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See,
there you go.
It much better. I'm not sure Charlie will remember the Frosty ad.
No, she's
definitely.
Too young.
No, I have seen them once.
Really?
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. Hey, listen, but we want to hear from you, the businesses out there Kent and the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have had quite a few tweets in already, so do keep them coming. And we will attempt to read them out and we will read your emails. But we'd love to hear from you because this show is all about you. And I'm going to start with some of the tweets that we've had in already.
Lots.
A new listener and new to Twitter, a lady called Carrie Wood, CarrieWood _UK, CarrieWood_UK, who says, hi, she's a friend of Sally for Cakes.
All right.
Sally Laker.
Well, everybody's Sally for Cakes.
Yeah, everybody
friend.
Knows
I mean, you
Sally.
Would, wouldn't you?
You would, because she makes the best cakes in the world.
Little lemon drizzle here, little chocolate dip there.
Yeah, it's your fatal weakness, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is my one weakness.
Yeah, lemon drizzle cake. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And the chocolate one with the strawberry.
Absolutely. Anyway, Carrie has tweeted in to say hello and to say she's new to Twitter and the Business Bunker. So welcome to both. Do give Carrie a follow on the Twitter, please, people. The lovely Amy McManus from AM Marketing has tweeted, and she's tweeted something very enigmatic.
Has she?
She has indeed.
I don't even know what enigmatic means.
Do you not?
No.
Not a while. I just made it up.
Yeah, but it's good work.
Yeah. She says, VanillaWeb, Business Bunker, we're bringing our new digital director on board on the 14th of February.
Ooh. Isn't that
Valentine's Day? Get out of it, Amy. Yeah, get out of it.
What's his name? Yeah, Romeo?
Yeah.
Romeo.
She says you'll have to wait and see who it is. I wonder who it is. Is it you?
No.
It's not me.
No. Blimey. I wouldn't be doing out on Valentine's Day. I'll be out.
Absolutely.
No, I'll be
well,
out.
Well, there you go. So we wait with bated breath to hear
yeah.
who their new AM Marketing Digital Director is.
I think his name will be Romeo Valentino.
Do you reckon?
Lothero.
We've also had a tweet from Andrew Knott, who is the Federation of Small Business sales rep for the Kent and Medway area.
Yeah,
and he says, obviously. Morning, Paul. Can you shout out, if you would like to learn more about the FSB, please call me. And I will tell you more about it. That's Andrew Knott, and his phone number is 07747114627. But the easiest way to find that out is to follow him on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is A-Knott, K-N-O-T-T, 20, A-Knott, 20. So do give Andrew a follow.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you phone him, he won't be too tied up.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, her puns have got even worse. Over Christmas. I'll tell you what it is. We're going to suffer from that. I'm looking at Ramsey and Charlie here because I need to warn them. Jules hasn't been in since Christmas, okay? We're going to get every Christmas cracker joke that she had over an extended Christmas.
No, I'm waiting.
I'm sorry.
I'm waiting to hear Ramsey speak because
I know. She's getting all previous listener. Yeah. She's getting all agitated about this.
We can't wait.
Yeah.
Why is it we have to go up, like, in a high voice when I do it?
That sounded more like Janet from Dr. Finley's case book, that did.
Well, that's the only, I'm afraid, the only experience I have.
Is that,
and again, Charlie, it's going right over.
Yeah, right over my head.
I expect Finley will tell us in a minute. He probably has relatives in Dr. Finley's case book.
He probably does. Anyway, let's leave the poor man alone until it's his turn, and then we can talk to him, can't we? I want to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsors.
Who is?
It's the lovely folks at RAP Office Contracts, the construction, fit out and design company.
Putting up a pod as we speak, no doubt.
I'm sure they are. They've been tweeting out some really interesting design stuff that they've been doing, especially for schools and things like that just recently. Mm. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, RAP Office Contracts, and do have a look at their website. You can find the links on the Kent Business Radio website for that. But a massive, massive thank you to Julie and the team at RAP Office Contracts for sponsoring today's show. We've had a tweet, and I'm going to have to delve into this one because they've given me a link that I'm going to need to read. And it's a tweet from Keep It In Kent, and they say, Vanilla Web, Happy New Year, Paul. Would be fab if you could give our New Year's Honours event a shout out. So let me just click that and see where that takes me and hope it isn't something horrible. Mm. And they say, announcing the Keep It In Kent 2016 New Year's Honours list. We are delighted to announce the following list of businesses who we feel deserve to be honoured by us at this time of year. And I'm going to quickly run through the list of honoured businesses in Kent. 24-hour Prime Time, Sinkport Vets, Country Brides of Faversham, Fudari, Home Cooked by Hannah, Kent Property Hound, Quartz Financial Services, Rift Accounting, The Black Rabbit, The King's Head Y, The West House, Western Hanger Castle, and the fabulous Whitstable Produce Store.
Lots of our friends on there.
Absolutely. So congratulations to all of those folks. And a big thank you to the lovely folks at Keep It In Kent for bringing that to our attention. And well done to all those people that were nominated as Best in Kent for an honour for this year. Tell you what, Jules, do you want to start with an email?
Well, I am in the middle of a tweet, but I'll throw that
so
down.
So sorry. I'm so sorry to interrupt your
let
work.
Let me tell you what the tweet was. It was very interrupting. It was very exciting.
Yeah.
It's from Telcare, lovely telecommunications experts over there in Medway.
Medway City Estate, Rochester.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they said, did you know, Jules Serkin, with no mention of you whatsoever on this, sorry about that, did you know, Jules Serkin, that this month sees 19 years in business for Telcare? Thanks to our lovely team, and they've been great.
Oh, we're going to do this all
the
way through now.
We need Ramsey.
Oh, we're going to do this. She's on a theme now. So,
they've been like tigers.
Well, if you do a few of these, I'll do a big great at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Ramsey.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I missed that with your superfluous bit at the end.
19 years.
In
business.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Huge congratulations to Dave Leeser and the team over there.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Well, they put in our things here, didn't they?
Telcare comms supply our lease lines to the radio station here. Mm. So, yeah. Massive thank you.
I just wanted to say that while I was away, I noticed you've been buying up swathes of Canterbury.
I have indeed, yeah.
No, what I want to know is, because you've bought the old Canterbury Whole Foods, which is my favourite haunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you still be selling lentils, Paul Andrews? I pop in with my bag for life.
No.
My little Hessian bag.
No, Roger and the team from Canterbury Whole Foods and the Veg Box Cafe are moving to 17 Burgate, and we are taking over their old building, and we will have a cafe there. We're going to have an internet cafe there, but we will be extending Fruitworks community workspace and hot desking hub.
I might come and run your cafe for you.
Thank you.
When I'm at a low ebb.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be at a low ebb to run my cafe for me?
I just
me?
Wanted to say something to annoy you.
Yeah, right, okay. I thought you might.
I'd run out of things to say to annoy you. But where is Burgate? Where in Burgate are they?
Burgate's next to the high street.
I know, but which bit?
Do you know the cathedral shop?
Yes.
Opposite there.
So what was it? Was it that sort of soapy shop?
I think it might have been a camping shop, I think.
Okay, well, you'd know about camp things, wouldn't you?
She... Whatever.
Can I read an email?
Probably.
I feel I need to rein you in. Okay, so this is actually moving on swiftly from what we were talking about Paul Andrews buying up swathes of Canterbury. This is Fruitworks, who are holding a create. And they are at 77 Stour Street, Canterbury, which is where the said premises are. And they say our mission is simple, create for change, for innovation and for discovery for you. Until I've had rather a lot of Prosecco over Christmas. We put 50 like-minded people in a pretty cool Victorian warehouse in the centre of Canterbury. We add a mix of interesting speakers with remarkable stories to tell. And then we add a splash of beer, a lot of beer, in fact, and it'll be free. They say. So this is 6:30 to 9 p.m. on Thursday the 21st of January, and the speakers are the photographer Richard Torbal, Deborah Turner and Zoe Cairns. Now Deborah is an image consultant and Zoe is a social media consultant, so that sounds like a real sort of put your brand together evening. There the Fruitworks website is www.fruitworks.co/create. Is that correct? Or just fruitworks.co?
Fruitworks.co.
Okay.
And if you want to go to the events, but then you do /create. Yeah, but if you just go to the website, you'll find it all anyway.
I love that because it always gets me because there's no UK on the bottom, is there?
Yeah, well, we're Colombian, aren't we?
Yeah, I always knew that too. Mm. But will you be selling lentils in your cafe?
No.
Nibbles?
We will be selling sandwiches, yeah.
Nibbles.
And nibbles and things, yeah, okay. Quite possibly. Kent Women in Business, who will you nominate? Nominations are open for the 4th Kent Women in Business Awards. There's a date for your diary, which is the 11th of March 2016, in which you can take part in the Black Tie Party celebration to celebrate all those fantastic business women and lady entrepreneurs that we have in this fabulous county of Kent. There are lots and lots of categories, so do please go and nominate your favourite business woman or your favourite lady entrepreneur. And you can do so by going to the website, which is KWIB Awards. That's all one word, kwibawards.co.uk/nominate. Please go forward and nominate your choice of business in a number of categories. And then also look at attending the dinner, the awards ceremony on the 11th of March, which is always great, great fun, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Young Jules. You didn't come last year, did you?
No, I can't remember what I was doing. I don't know.
You were doing something, weren't you?
Yeah, I was up to something. I can't quite
remember. It's the highlight of my social calendar, I have to say. Me and 400 business women.
Yeah.
It's the only fun I ever get in a year.
it's all right. Fruitworks have just said, thanks, Jules, for the awesome commentary. And you know I get a bit uppity when people tweet awesome.
Do you?
I'm going to have to go and talk to them, Tony and
that's Kelly.
George.
That's Kelly. No, that's Kelly.
Well, I don't know Kelly.
Ah, well, there you go.
I'd rather
Kelly's
talk to,
awesome.
I'd rather talk to Tony and George, frankly.
Kelly's awesome.
But the awesome is awesome. Listen, Kelly, awesome is if you go to the moon in a rocket or you're like David Bowie. That's awesome.
Right.
Awesome is not me reading out that lovely press
She's
release.
19.
I know, but the awesome thing gets me a bit. Like, obviously, that gets me. I mean, we could have conversations about this, couldn't we, Finn?
Yeah.
You know, there's just...
I don't know why we could do, but it looks
well,
like we could.
Well, because we're of an age where things annoy us. Don't
Who's
you
we?
Well, me and Ramsay and definitely you. I mean, you're over 60 now.
So?
We're a lot younger than you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And?
What annoys young people, Charlie?
Well, let me tell you. Charlie, yeah.
What's the one thing that annoys you about people when they speak to you? Is there anything?
Not really sure.
You see,
honest.
That's it.
I'm quite easygoing, so
absolutely.
But we used to be.
You're absolutely right, Charlie. You just take these things as they come.
It's people like her
that gets all grumpy. She's a grumpy old woman. That's what it is.
Oh. Ramsay, what annoys you about conversation? If anybody says things to you.
Oh, it takes a lot to get me annoyed, but I must admit, this is a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah, I arrived here, the first thing was a conversation about whiskey jewels, and then there's that amazing Scottish accent you're putting on. I just can't find the words to describe it. It's amazing.
I'll keep practising.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, we're going to play a record now, and we're going to play another David record, just because that's what we're doing at the moment, and then when we come back, we will, in fact, be talking to Ramsay.
That sounds great.
Have a listen to this.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. God-given ass, he took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
JobsInKent.com.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, January the 12th, with me and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Had a lovely tweet from RAP who say, thanks for the shout out, Business Bunker, Jules Serkin, with no mention of you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a pod, as mentioned. They put a photo of a really, really stunning pod. You see, she could say stunning.
Stunning pod.
Yes.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that they sent us a stunning pod.
Do you know, I'm of the generation where our English...
Do you know what? Do you know what? Stunning pod's not something you want to say too often either, is it?
No.
Because you could fall foul of that.
It's like trying to say ecken, fecken, cake.
Yes, the one.
Eckel, fecken.
Eckel,
yeah,
fecken.
That would be the one.
Yeah. This is fecken.
Okay. And on that note,
yeah.
Why don't we introduce our first guest?
Shall we?
That would be lovely,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Are you
wouldn't it be
me?
Nice to have some decorum and sense on this show?
He's a director, you know.
He is. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show for the very first time Mr. Ramsey Cowan of IPS International. Ramsey, well done, and well done for coming and putting up with us more than anything, and her silly Scottish accent.
Look guys, it's just been a pleasure, and thank you for the applause. I wasn't expecting that either. So
welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Why don't you start off, Ramsey, by telling us a little bit about IPS International and what it is you actually do.
Right, okay, well, IPS International was it's a private training company. We set it up as part of a steel company. Actually, Sheerness Steel, some of the listeners may remember the steelworks that used to be on the Isle of Sheppey.
Yeah, absolutely.
We started it up back in 1986 as a training company to provide some high-tech engineering training to our own steelworkers.
Right, okay.
A lot of the other, at that time, there's a lot of other manufacturing on the island, and we started providing training for people at Abbott Laboratories, as it was then, Coimbra Rolling Mill, and so on.
Yeah.
And really, the training company grew out of that. Now we are based in a lovely site just on the Medway City Estate.
All right, okay.
And if you ever get a chance to get up there, we've got magnificent views across the Medway to Rochester Castle and easy access to some lovely places around there.
Mm.
But our main centre is actually based up there, and we have a centre down in Dover as well.
Oh, okay.
The centre in Rochester now does a range of training for apprentices and adult type training. Although, of course, we get adults who are apprentices as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And covers everything from engineering, accounting, management, business administration, a whole range of things.
Okay. Let's explore
which we can talk about as we go through.
Yeah, let's explore some of those things. So you've been established quite a long time. And it's funny, I wasn't aware of the background to the starting of your organisation. And it is, and you mentioned all those names, Abbott Laboratories and Rolling Mills and all those kind of things. And of course, all sadly gone now, which is a shame. But obviously, things have moved on from there. But yeah, so you've been going quite a long time. You're now based on the Medway City Estate, as you say, looking at Sunpier House, I guess, and the castle in the background.
The castle is magnificent in the evening with the sun just glistening off it.
Absolutely. So you have a training centre there in Medway.
Yep.
And another one in Dover. Let's explore some of these things. Let's start off with apprentices, because that's something that certainly the government are keen to push and have been pushing a long time. And various business support organisations like the FSB and the Chambers of Commerce are also very keen. My take on this is it took a bit of a while for smaller businesses to get on board with the whole apprenticeship scheme. But in the last couple of years, far more businesses have now adopted this and taken it on board. Let's talk about you guys and how you fit into this apprenticeship framework, because sometimes it still confuses small businesses how you go about getting an apprentice and what you do with one when you've got one.
Yeah, and certainly we found over the last few years that's the obstacles to small businesses are the idea that it's a lot of cost up front while the apprentice is learning.
Yeah.
It may be the difficulty of employing the apprentice. I mean, how do you employ an apprentice?
Mm.
How do you look after them while they're learning the skills?
Mm.
And what we do is there's a couple of things that we do to help that. One is that, first of all, we run a thing called an apprentice training agency,
right,
which is it's a separate business to the main training business, where we can actually employ the apprentice for another small business. So the small business can sign the apprentice up. We will then take care of the employment, take care of the pay as you earn, the related tax, and then at the end of the the apprenticeship or during the apprenticeship, the business can turn around to us and say, right, we're ready now to take them on our books. But obviously, when we're looking at a small business, Paul, we want to make sure that the small business is committed to look at some point, they will be taking that person on.
I love that. I love that because one of the things that a lot of people reported to me with the problem for them of taking apprentices is a lot of people are almost, you know, just self-employed. It's just them, especially tradespeople like plumbers or electricians or painters and decorators. And they go, I'd love an apprentice, but that means I've got to do payroll and all that kind of stuff. You've just taken that away, the overhead of that completely away.
Mm. Absolutely. And the other thing that can help, certainly in things like the areas like engineering, where maybe a small business knows that for the first year or so, the apprentice is not going to be able to contribute a great deal, and there's a lot to be concerned about in terms of learning about health and safety and basic skills. For these type of apprentices, we actually, right now, we have around about 100 first-year apprentice engineers in our centre. So for the first year, we can actually do off-the-job training, give them all the basic skills, the health and safety skills. So by the time they go to the employer, they're actually doing useful stuff.
Absolutely.
And these can be run through the apprentice training agency employs them, or the employer, of course, can employ them themselves.
Fabulous. I love it. I absolutely love that because you're solving multiple levels of problems there, aren't you, on all sides of the equation.
It's also good to hear about engineering back in Britain, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
to be on the upturn, Jules. Yeah. It's, we're certainly good. And not just the traditional side of engineering. I mean, in our construction and manufacturing business, we're seeing quite an uptake in what we call fenestration, which basically is glazing.
Right.
Okay. Another word. Yeah. That comes from fenêtre in
fenêtre,
French.
It does indeed. It does indeed, Jules. So the fenestration side, that is becoming big business now, because if you look at something like the Shard, it's not like putting a small window in. If you drop the window, it's a little break of glass. I mean, there's tons of glass hanging up in the air among the general public. And the general public wouldn't be keen if the people up there weren't quite sure how handle this glass.
Absolutely. You know, so if they got their putty mixture wrong,
well absolutely, you know, I'm not even going to think about it.
So have you got an engineering background?
By background, I'm a process control engineer. I grew up in the steel industry. It's electronics, heavy engineering, this sort of thing. So the original startup from IPS was the engineering side.
Right.
But as soon as you train engineers for a company, the company says, well, but what about our managers? They need training.
Yeah.
We need IT skills. Another big area that we're into, and this is from our Dover office, our Dover centre, is health and social care, where we're doing apprenticeships for carers and support staff in care homes right along the south coast. And that, obviously, with legislation changing to, you know, if you want to work in a care home, you need to be properly trained.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so there's been a big push on that, and we have a very a thriving business.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole healthcare industry is one of the biggest growth industries there
Absolutely, Paul.
And you're absolutely right, Ramsey, that, you know, a few years ago in the past, some of this was a bit loosely administered and there were some horror stories that came out. So we've now focused a lot more on qualifications, training, and making sure people are fit to do the right job. And that is incredibly important. I don't want to keep you on one subject all the time because you've got lots of different things to talk about, but I'm fascinated by this because I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
With your apprenticeship hiring, part of the business,
the agency, the training agency.
With that part of the business, do you hire people in kind of any apprenticeship area, or is it specifically in engineering and those related things?
I mean we hire them in any apprenticeship area. If we can deliver the training, and we deliver a wide range of things, then we will do the training.
Right.
But we can also employ apprentices for a company when they might be being trained by another training company for a specialism that we don't do. So it's a pretty open route.
Absolutely.
And what I'd say, if there's any small businesses that are thinking along this route, get in touch with us. You know, we can certainly do the employment side.
Yeah.
If we can do the training, then great. But if not, we can work with them, or we will source the training.
Right, okay.
And
that's really brilliant.
Going on to the IT, do you find it difficult to find top-notch IT staff
Yes, we do. We've got a couple of excellent people. In fact, it's the development process in our business has been interesting. We recruited somebody as an IT manager a couple of years ago. They worked for a couple of years as an IT manager and thought, well, actually, we fancy doing training now. So they're now trained as a trainer. They're highly qualified, and they're using their experience to train others. Mm. So, but it's a tricky area to get people. Mm. The other thing that is tricky is getting youngsters with the basic, what we call the functional skills, you know, the literacy, the numeracy, to actually take on a lot of these. And I see a big part of the current apprentice scheme, and also the new one that's come out through Trailblazers, is addressing these by embedding these in the program.
Okay.
So you get up to them.
What's the Trailblazers?
Trailblazers, it's the sort of the new government approach to or a new take on apprenticeships.
Right, okay.
Effectively, to me, it's a bit like a refreshment. Trailblazer groups of employers have got together, looked at the existing programs, modified them, added new bits, and changed their shape to meet current requirements.
Okay.
These get approved. Once they're approved, they will then be run as the new apprenticeships. I think the main difference is that while there's a ongoing portfolio work and checking and assessment as you go along, at the end there is what we call a summative assessment. Mm. So rather than doing a bit and getting it checked as you go along and then you get signed off, at the end of the course you actually got to be able to demonstrate you still remember everything you've learned during the program.
Absolutely.
Which actually is, again, you know, if I use the glazing as an example, it's a good thing to remember what type of putty to coin your phrase, Paul, to use.
Which way the glass goes.
So it'll be interesting to see how these how these come up. A lot of work's going on, a lot of good work's going on. The other thing that's changing, of course, is funding now. It looks like it's going to be moving through and directed through employers.
Right, okay.
Whereas, you know, for the last few years, the funding goes to the providers that then work with the employers. And
okay. So it's kind of turning it on its head.
I think this happens every few years. Yeah. Providing it keeps the quality going up, then I think everybody will adapt and be happy with it.
Absolutely.
But we'll see.
Do you go into the hospitality areas at all or not?
No,
yet?
We don't. Mm. We don't.
Mm. I think you need to.
Oh, thank you.
Because I know when I speak to foodies, that's a big thing, finding staff.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we have massive staff shortages in every field apart from retail in the UK at the moment, and that's going to continue. And that's why it's so important. With companies like IPS International, and we're going to be talking later to Johnny it's so important to bring young people into the workforce with the appropriate skills and qualifications, because we're just so short of people in every field. Mm. And whilst care, health and hospitality have been been growth factors over the last couple of years, we still have massive shortages in STEM skills. Science, technology, engineering and manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because those STEM skills, people think we don't make anything anymore. We're the world's fifth largest manufacturing nation still. Mm. It's just that things have changed. So, you know, we have to keep those skills up to date. So I'm loving what you're doing. And I love this agency approach to it as well, because with micro businesses and sole businesses, that is the big stopper for them. They can't afford to have an apprentice because they've got no way of handling it.
You're right, Paul. What I would say to these small businesses out there is if you have the faintest idea or inkling for taking on an apprentice because you'd like a young person developing skills in your business, give us a call. Mm. We've spent quite a lot of time in the last 2 or 3 years looking for ways of removing these blocks. Mm. Because generally I speak to small businesses and say, yeah, we'd love to take an apprentice, but you know, it's cost, but you know, it's extra employment. We're going to have to manage this, do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, we will be able to help in some way. So if they can just call, am I allowed to use names on this?
Okay.
Well, a plug here. If you are interested in talking about apprenticeships, call IPS International and, speak to Sharon or Haley or Helen.
Thanks.
And the number, now they're going to hate me back at IPS for this because I'm going to give the main switchboard number just now. It's 01634298800.
Cool.
But just do that and we will also help.
If you didn't get to write that down, if you go to the Kent Business Radio website, there's a link to the IPS website on our website, and that will have all the contact details on as well. So do have a look at that and find
that
out.
That's great. That's great.
Yep. So I want to now look at, so we've talked quite a lot about the apprenticeship side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess you also do other types of training where you refer to it as adult training.
Yeah, it's what we call adult commercial training, which is out with, so this is not the, within the government funding and the and the apprentice programs, but we employ a lot of engineers who have come from various industries. In fact, right. Some came from the steel industry with us. So we do major retraining projects and upskilling projects with adults in power stations, car manufacturing plants, paper mills.
Right.
We've been involved in the commissioning of plants as well.
Okay.
So for any of the some industrial manufacturing type businesses, obviously the steel industry we did a lot because we grew out of the steel industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We have a lot of expertise, and that's done on a commercial basis for, I mean, one we did a project as far afield as helping to commission an aluminium plant down in Mozambique.
Oh, wow.
We used to run a business out in Malaysia where we were working with a steel company out there. Mm. We've trained people from Australia and, right. and from various parts of the world, as far afield as Australia and Cardiff.
Right. Blimey. Really pushing the boat out.
Certainly are.
Cardiff, right.
But this is all high-tech electronic control equipment, yeah. engineering. But also, Paul, we feed that sort of know-how into our apprentice programs,
right.
where it fits.
Yeah.
So our apprentices will be training on, our engineering apprentices will train on the same sort of equipment that is currently being used out in industry.
Cool. Yeah.
So it relates very much.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And your adult training, is that's all in the kind of STEM skill area, is it?
Yes, yeah, yes, it yeah, is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Because, of course, obviously, that's your that's
where our main
business,
expertise. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we do some adult training in management, which right. is non-funded. This is high-level management type training, coaching,
yeah.
and what have you.
And
as
you
well.
Know, good management. I'm speaking from experience here, from somewhere I've just left, which was all down to weak management at the top.
Mm.
And good management is absolutely essential, because if you have a weak manager at the top, it feeds all the way
absolutely.
Down.
It's the foundation of a good business.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I never realised how important it is until I've actually, you know, experienced it.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you this story very, very briefly, and I'm not going to use names, obviously. Many years ago, a lot of you will know that I worked as a management consultant, and I was employed to do a job for an incredibly large multinational organization. And the chief executive called me in and he said, "We have real motivational problems in this organization. I want you to travel to all of our locations in Asia, UK, Australia, whatever, and interview the country managers. And I want a report on what they think is the problem." So I spent 6 months doing this. You can guess what the outcome of this was. And I walked in to present my report, and I went, "Well, Peter, the problem's you." He picked the report up, he tore it in half, he said, "Send me your bill, go away." And that was the end of that.
It's nice to make an impact, Paul, isn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah. Oops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so and how long have you been in the business now?
30 years.
30 years.
Actually, just thinking, on the 1st of April this year, it'll be exactly 30 years.
Wow. So
it was. You can imagine there was a bit of a smile when Sheerness Steel recruited me from British Steel in Scotland,
right.
and the start date was the 1st of April. You know,
yeah, it's real.
Yeah. So halfway down through this big country called England, thinking, right. "Is this real?" But it was.
Yeah, cool.
It was.
Just talking about Rochester going off piste a bit, which I like to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think they'll ever get the waterways going and using it a bit more to go into London and chug around and ship stuff rather than using the roads?
Well, they're going to have to do something.
Mm.
They're going to have to do something.
Because it's there, isn't it, that waterway?
It's there, and everything is just chock-a-block.
Mm.
I think...
Shall we lobby?
We should lobby. We should lobby.
And what about regeneration housing and that around the river? Is it worth looking at property around the river there? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of talk of development all over the place just now. I guess from a business point of view, my concern is that if they are going to start expanding housing, property and so on, then they need to sort the infrastructure out.
Yeah, roads and infrastructure.
And let's get it done in the right order.
Yeah. I just had a tweet from Kelly. who says apprenticeships are fantastic for us young people to develop our skills and get into the job market. And Kelly recently finished her apprenticeship in digital marketing.
Excellent.
And got a full-time job. So, yeah, thank you for that, Kelly. You're absolutely right.
And what was the adjective she used there?
She said... hold on. Fantastic.
Well, that's fine.
You're allowed to say
that's
that.
Good, yeah,
yeah.
If she'd have said epic or awesome, I'd have been upset.
Epic?
Yeah.
What if she said epically awesome?
Well, if she's tweeting from the moon, but no, that's great.
You can safely ignore Jules. She's just being all grumpy today.
I am grumpy because Christmas is over.
Because she's had to finish Christmas and she's stopped drinking for an hour or so. That's why she's got all grumpy.
I know.
Anyway. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to Ramsey. Let's give a shout out for your website once again. Jules, have you got that to hand?
Sorry, the IPS?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Did you want the phone number?
No, give us the website. Well, give us both, the website and
the
phone number.
The website is not on here, so Ramsey will tell us the website. Okay.
It's
three W's.
I'll do it, yeah. Three W's, then a dot, IPS-international.com.
Fantastic.
And the telephone number to annoy the girls, if you just want to chat about taking on an apprentice, you can talk to Hannah, was it Hayley and...
Sharon.
Actually, look, I've just got the right number for our business development team. You see, the reason
that I
said the first one with trepidation is it's Jan in the main office that gets this.
The private
and she
line.
Will be very, very cross with me having to keep relaying so many.
Sorry, Jan.
So, Jan, can I apologise to you over air? The business development team is on 01634-298808.
Fantastic. Thank you. You can find all of that on the Kent Business Radio website. We've linked to all of that. So if you do want to find out, and you do want to talk to the team at IPS International about your apprenticeship and your engineering training needs, do look that up. That will be on the Business Bunker website. It's on the homepage at the moment. And then in the future, you will be able to find all the details under show number 257, which is today's show. But for the moment, Ramsey, thank you so much for
thank you, Paul,
joining us on the Business Bunker show. Been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
I'll do that.
Ramsey Cam.
Thank you.
We've just had a tweet from Venom Tech, who have given us the Venom of the Week, which I like to ask for. And it is a very ghastly looking spider, I think it is. Very ghastly looking spider. And I'm going to, it's called, listener, this is a bit worrying, it's the Heteropoda David Bowie. And they've got a blog. So check them out on Venom Research and find out about this very ghastly looking spider. Look at that, guys.
Hideous.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that in your cornflake box in the morning,
would
you?
How big is it?
I don't know. Its legs look absolutely humongous.
They're about 3 feet long.
We've got lots of tweets here. Lovely Barrister Broker. Yes, I'm back. Hello to you. And Chris Pollard, Snake Hips himself, listening in. He says, hello, Business Bunker. I'm listening on my new SoundTouch 10 system and you sound even better. Is that possible? Possibly not. But what is a SoundTouch 10 system? Well, you're an engineer. Maybe you know.
Well, that really puts me on the spot. Sounds very impressive.
It does. It might be a Bose or one of those. Anyway, whatever. I'm going to read out a lovely email we've been sent, which is from the business community, and it's about a breakfast, which is always close to my heart. So they say, Happy New Year to one and all. It would be great to have a good turnout at the Honourable Pilot, which is this week for the first meeting of the year. Please make an extra effort to join us at 7:30 a.m. Thursday the 14th and chew the cud. Hope that's not what they're having for breakfast. How can we support each other? What resources and skills could we share? What does 2016 have for us? And so you need to contact Colin Brown. Our email is colin@businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And again, it's Thursday the 14th of January at the Honourable Pilot. Paul Andrews, where is the Honourable Pilot?
Gillingham.
Okay.
Gillingham, it's by Gillingham, near Gillingham Golf Club, I think.
Near the ice rink.
Yeah, absolutely.
I made that up. Kent and Victor Chamber, After Hours Network, 6 to 7.30. There's no need to book, they say, just turn up. And you can go onto their website, which is kentandvictorchamber.co.uk. Tonight, it is at the Hythe Imperial in Hythe. And on Wednesday the 20th, it's at the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. Tuesday the 26th of January, you can go to the Mercure Maidstone, the Great Danes. We're never really sure what it's called anymore, Maidstone. And Tuesday the 2nd of Feb, for your diary, is the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford.
So I went there yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I went to the Nucleus Centre yesterday. What a fabulous place.
What was it like?
Yeah, brilliant. It's really good. It's a serviced office space, really brilliant. And they had a thing called an iLab, which you can rent out, which is really fabulous.
What
it's
is
really
an
great.
iLab?
It's a room, really funky room, with lots of technology gadgets in, you know, so you can display things on the walls. But the whole room is white, and you can write on all the walls and
Ooh,
stuff like that. It's really cool.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good. iLab, it's called.
Oh, yeah. And sounds that's a bit like heaven. A little white and...
She's getting carried away now.
Sort of ethereal.
Next thing you know, it'll be awesome, won't it?
Yeah, that sounds epic, that does.
Yeah. But the place itself, fabulous.
You hire it?
You can hire the iLab room, yeah. But the Nucleus Centre is office space. Fabulous. Yeah, I had a really good time there yesterday. Big thank you to Matthew and Kelly that showed me around.
I've got a very long email. Shall I read it, or do you want to do something else?
I'm going to read this email first.
Yeah, it's your show,
yeah,
after all.
Am I allowed?
Yeah, it's
thank
your
you.
Show. You
Hello,
know.
Paul. It says, Hello, Paul.
No mention of me.
No. Hello, yeah. Paul. My name is Nikki Whittaker, and I'm a new listener to your show, and I've also started
following...
New.
Oh, sorry, it's your pronunciation.
New listener, and I've also started following you on Twitter. I have recently started a new family-run property management business in Herne Bay, and it's called AN Property Management. Please could you give me a big shout out, and could you shout out to all landlords who have properties to rent out or those who have existing tenancies, because starting today, the 12th of January, as advertised in the KM Extra this week, we have a promotion offering 0% management fees for up to 2 months plus a free inventory. We are really excited to be able to offer this service and welcome any calls or inquiries from you or your lovely listeners. And you can find out more by calling Nikki on 01-227-208-958. And she says, thank you very much indeed for Nikki and the team at AM Property Management. So do that. If you're a landlord or partway through a tenancy in the Herne Bay area, do give Nikki a call.
An inventory is hugely important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very. I've just...
Is that like cavalry, but without horses?
Well, I was just laughing at your pronunciation, because you could say inventory or inventory, or what else could you
inventory.
Say? Inventory. Inventory. Mm-hmm. You never know, do you?
Do you know, it's funny you should say that. It's not very often you say anything interesting.
No,
but
no.
It's funny you should say that. I'm right in the middle of reading a book about accents.
I didn't know you could even read.
I know, somebody's reading it to me.
Astonishing.
And it's about... accents, and it's really interesting how people they were saying that the pronunciation of various words really set the parameters of an accent in place. And of course, there is no, apart from received pronunciation, there is no strict way of pronouncing anything. You know, even dear old Shakespeare didn't know how to spell his own name.
No.
And it's fascinating because words like that can actually pinpoint you to an area of the country just in the way that you pronounce things,
well,
like Bath and Bath.
It's funny you say that because...
It's hilarious.
I was listening to my new husband's show last night, and it's Emerging Ops on Twitter, and it's about frontier markets. And he had two really fascinating guests from a company called Alquity.
Hmm.
And they were both sort of marketing people, but they both had... a similar northern accent. They both said us,
right,
which is quite unique, isn't
Brace
it?
Brace yourselves, folks. She's going to go into a Tetley teabag routine any minute now. I can feel it coming on.
I said to him, where does us come from? You know,
us.
Do they wait for the buzz as well? Right. They don't wait for the buzz.
No, they don't
wait
for the buzz.
Just us.
Just us, yeah.
But it's, and of course, I'm sure you could tell us tales of different accents up in Scotland.
Yeah, because even up in Scotland, you can tell the difference between a really heavy set of Glasgow accent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And perhaps someone who comes from Aberdeen.
Janet!
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think everybody up there is called Janet?
Yeah, Janet.
Yeah.
But you know, but yeah, there's sort of a quite a, I mean, Scottish sounds quite posh at times, doesn't it? It's quite a posh accent.
Well, it depends where it's from, doesn't it?
It all sounds posh to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Rab C. Nesbitt. Yeah. And posh don't go in the same sentence, really, do they?
And you're Bermondsey, aren't you?
Bermondsey? Yeah, get out of here.
Where were you born?
Fulham.
Fulham, well, yeah. Same sort of thing, isn't it?
No, it ain't. Yeah, totally different.
Yeah, because you see, it's funny, because when I went, as you know, this fancy dress was in Essex, where I was born, and when we went back, my kids were... was saying, oh, you know, there's a really strong accent here.
Mm.
But it's actually very similar to the Kent accent.
All right,
accent. Love.
Easy going.
Yeah, it's quite. Right. I used to talk like that.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to say we was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was.
Watcher.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Was. And watcher.
It was awesome, that.
Yeah, I used to say watcher. Did you say watcher?
I still say watcher.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's watcher?
Yeah, I'm thinking you
see.
The same. I don't even know.
They don't know.
Ah, absolutely.
Educators. Educators.
Watcher is hello.
Yeah.
All right.
Watch it. It's, where does that come from?
It's Cockney. Is I can't it? Remember what it's for. Well, it's got lost in the midst of time.
I wasn't a Cockney.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I suppose it's got the same number of syllables as hello, but
I don't see the
watcher. No, I mean
it's a word I'm very familiar with and used a lot. When I grew up.
Yeah, watcher. Me too.
Is this a sort of greeting?
Yeah.
For the local natives.
Well, now kids say, all right, don't they? Another word drives them out. All right?
Yeah.
All right? No, I'm not all right.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's a good explanation of it.
Yeah.
I can't, but funnily enough, I've never thought about it. And until you expressed incredulity.
Surprise is easier.
But until
and Charlie.
I'd never thought about it. It's a word that I've used all my life.
My kids couldn't understand that I, growing up as a teenager, my whole life was spent on my bike, round at the rec.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do. We used to get home from school, get on our bike, go round.
Yeah, but the Victorians were pretty good, though, weren't they? Yeah.
They didn't invent a lot. It wasn't a penny farthing, thank you.
Ah, okay.
And then we would have our friends round. Charlie's looking a bit shocked at this. And we would play records all night. David Bowie, you know, typically as a teenager.
Until the handle wound down.
Yeah.
We would just play records all night, five, six, 7 hours, you know, sit and play records and chat.
And sit and read the album covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe, if we were lucky, we'd have a Nescafe coffee. That was like a real treat, you know. Anyway, the whole night.
Enough of this nonsense. Nobody remembers that far back.
Or a port and lemon.
We've had a tweet from Garage Golf, who says, Vanilla Web, hello.
Hello.
We're a new business available through garage-golf.com, your personal online pro shop. So that's garage-golf.com is their website. And... they're a golf shop online. What's not to like?
Excellent.
Mm.
We've had another tweet, or a new tweet, from Luke Quilter. He's the MD of a digital market agency, The Sleeping Giant.
Yeah,
they've been on here, I believe. But he's tweeting away there. So hello to you, Luke.
Hello, Luke. Carl from Kent. Could we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please? CarlFromKent.com. Thank you very much. Jules and Paul, they mentioned you.
Yeah, well.
If I'd have seen that before, I wouldn't have read it.
No.
There you go. Have you got anything else? You got another tweet or...
Lisa Settle is saying one of... my granddad used to say that, watcher.
Watcher.
Think it comes from what cheer.
Okay, that'll be it. Yeah.
Gosh, she's an academic, that woman.
Was that Lisa?
Yeah.
Nice one, Lisa.
Do you know, that is a really...
Epic.
You can imagine what ho.
Yeah.
What cheer.
Yeah, watcher.
Watcher. Yeah.
I'm developing my language skills by being part of this program. It's amazing.
Yeah. Degenerating your language skills, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's another word.
Sally Reeve has tweeted, Vanilla Web, Info Stand Weight Loss, Thursday the 14th of January, Innovation House, Discovery Park Sandwich, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There you go.
Enough said. Weight loss?
Yeah. Info Stand.
A bit early to start that, really.
Weight loss.
Maybe.
Really?
When is it?
Thursday.
Oh, no. I've still got mince pies and Christmas cake.
Yeah, but you need to start sometime.
I know, but my mum made me a special gluten-free one and it's still there.
Ruth, stop encouraging her.
I know. And it's getting a bit dry now, so we keep putting brandy on it.
That was Sally Reeve. SR Cambridge Diet is her Twitter handle.
Well, you go. You can represent it.
She sent another tweet.
All right.
She said... Would love a shout out for the National Obesity Forum.
Oh, God. Really?
I think she's trying to tell
Why
you something
are you
there.
Looking at me?
Well, I'm just reading the tweets. All I'm doing is reading
you
the tweets.
You go as our representative.
Yeah. She's given us a link, a Twitter link, which is Healthy January. Mm. Healthy January is a Twitter link.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of dry January, I must say. You know, I think all things in moderation. I've got a really long email. Do you want me to read this one?
Not yet. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. You'll have to... go and make a cup of tea if you want, because this is quite a long one. but take the radio
can
with
you. Can you paraphrase it?
What if I'd have planned it, yes. Small firms are under pressure from auto-enrolment surge. Nearly half of business owners without a workplace pension scheme, that's 45%, are still unclear about their responsibilities, with a quarter, 25%, not confident their business can cope. The new FSB research has found that although smaller firms generally believe auto-enrolment will be good for their staff and that workers should save for the future, many are still unclear what they need to do, when they need to do it, and how much it'll cost. That's a biggie. Three in four business owners, that's 76%, said auto-enrolment pensions put too much pressure on businesses like theirs. So what's going to happen? Well, over the next 2 years, more than a million small and micro businesses will need to set up a workplace pension for their employees under the government's automatic enrolment rules. January sees the number of employers reaching their designated staging date, the date on which they need to start complying with auto-enrolment. They need to rapidly ramp up the tens of thousands staging each month in 2016 and 2017. Although the majority of businesses, that's 51%, feel confident they can meet the challenge of the new workplace pension, 45% of businesses which have not yet complied are unclear what they need to do, and one in four, that's 26%, do not know their staging date. The FSB also found businesses underestimating the costs of implementing auto-enrolment. On average, smaller businesses start the process and expect overall costs are going to be approximately £903. However, firms which have already introduced a workplace pension report average overall costs of £1,436, which one in five businesses, that's 19%, reporting costs upwards of £2,000. Although costs are likely to be higher for firms with more than 50 employees, the findings suggest that the smaller businesses could be underestimating the cost too. This is a bit worrying. So when asked how they accommodated the cost of setting up a workplace pension, 70% of businesses which had already done so said they absorbed the expenses into general operating costs or accepted lower profits. However, a fifth, that's 21%, said they had frozen or reduced wages in order to cover the cost of auto-enrolment. Those firms yet to start auto-enrolment said they were more likely to be planning a wage freeze or cuts in response, with 30% expecting to do so. This suggests that as a rollout reaches greater numbers of businesses, this could act as a further drag on pay growth as employers look to manage increasing costs. So thank you very much, the FSB, and do take note of that, because that sounds like a lot of people are ignoring it and leaving it to the
last
minute. You're
going to get in trouble if you don't do it.
You will.
I've had a tweet in response to the email I just read out from the lovely Nikki.
Yeah.
Who says, thank you so much for reading out our email on the Business Bunker. We will be listening again next week.
Now, I've lost and track of who lovely Nikki was.
From the property company that I just read out in Herne Bay.
Yeah.
And she's tweeted so that we know her Twitter handle, which is Nikki Property. All one word, Nikki with a Y, Nikki Property. So do give Nikki at AM Property a follow.
And she's in Herne Bay, so she's local.
And she's in the Herne Bay area, yeah.
Good.
Right, we're going to play another piece of music and have a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to our second guest. What
Lovely,
do you reckon?
Can't wait.
Yeah.
What are we playing?
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.